Well, good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It is Thursday, October 10th, 2019. We have 18 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. So, like I kind of mentioned to you last week, as I suspected, the ship numbers are creeping back up again because the wheat is back on the river. When we had those closures of the Bonneville Dam locks that lasted for weeks while they repaired some cracks in the locks, that prevented tug and barge traffic from coming down the river from the inland west, bringing wheat from harvest down to ports like Portland and Vancouver area ports that export wheat. So nice to see that chain of commerce working again. We're one of the biggest wheat portals in the world, and we send a lot of wheat out of this out of the Columbia River during this time of year. We have 8 inbounders. We have 4 in the Astoria anchorage, and we have 6 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. In our marine weather forecast, northeast winds today, 10 to 15 knots, gusting to 20. Wind waves from the northeast, 3 feet high at 4 seconds apart. Northwest swell, 3 feet at 8 seconds. And today we're going to be talking, I'm looking at these temperatures, and there's a frost warning and all this. And I'm thinking, well, the weather is getting significantly colder. Excuse me. And so at this time of year, I like to talk about how conditions change for mariners and how the weather effects work. So it's getting colder. Later on, when the weather gets a little more dicey in terms of windy weather, we'll talk about the Beaufort wind scale. But today, I thought I'd talk with you about wind chill effects out on the water and how that can make things really difficult for people who are working out there on boats, where getting wet especially is always a risk. But first, let's take a look at our ship schedule for the day. We have 8 inbounders, 4 in our Astoria anchorage, and 6 outbounders. We've got the Skylight coming in this morning. She already passed by Astoria at about 5:30 in the morning, headed for Vancouver to anchor there. She's going to go to the port of Astoria eventually and pick up soda ash at the port. So maybe, probably she's already passed by. We have the tug Polar Storm that came in this morning, maybe passing past Astoria around 8 a.m. inbound. And I think this is a very interesting illustration here of the chain of commerce on the river. She's coming into the river and is going up, I think, all the way up to Pasco. So past Portland, up on the river, through the locks, all the way up into on the Snake River system. And so the Columbia River Snake River system. So it takes vessels like tugs, which are much shallower draft, maybe 14 feet or so at the most, can make it all the way past Portland up on the river and can go way, way, way inland. So hundreds of miles from the ocean, we still have vessels handling commerce for us here in this area. Next inbound is a bulk carrier called the ANSAC Green River, A-N-S-A-C. Whenever you see that name in a ship, it's the American Natural Soda Ash Corporation, so you know what that cargo is. Arriving from Taiwan, headed for the Vancouver anchorage, she'll be going to the port of Portland to pick up soda ash, which is used to make automotive glass. And that's one of its big uses. And so it's kind of interesting to see our raw materials leave here, go over to Asia, and it's probably headed for Japan, to be made into glass on cars and then shipped back to us as those finished vehicles on the car carriers. Next is the Amos Integrity, arriving from Russia, headed for the Rice Island anchorage. That's a little bit upriver from Astoria, but still visible from the waterfront here. That's a wheat ship. She's going to be anchoring and waiting to go upriver eventually to pick up wheat. She'll arrive in the Rice Island anchorage probably around 12:30, 1 p.m. today. The Quest is arriving from Hong Kong, headed for the Astoria anchorage. She'll probably be there by about 6:30 p.m. She is a wheat ship. She'll be waiting there to go upriver. So the ships that are waiting are probably waiting for berths to open up. They can be undergoing inspections in the anchorage. At this time of year, when the weather is worsening out in the ocean, it can be a really restful break for people who've been. It takes about 2 weeks to get here from Asia on the ocean, and there's a lot of rolling around in difficult conditions. So mariners don't tend to sleep well at this time of year out in the ocean because they just get tossed around a lot. And even walking around in a ship can be difficult when the ship is rolling around in bad weather. So I imagine that when they come in here to the Astoria Anchorage and other places like that around the region, they can sit and just kind of get their wits about them again after just being bounced around. Let's see. We have the The Quest, she's arriving from Hong Kong, right? She's headed up. She's going to be in the anchorage. And we have the Tug C-SPAN Raider. I think this is a, she's headed for the port of Astoria. I think this is one of those vessels that brings a barge in from British Columbia, hands it off to a U.S. flag tug, probably carrying lime, and that U.S. tug will take it upriver to a port. And then she may be, the C-SPAN Raider will maybe picking up a barge here. So if you see a barge anchored off the Tongue Point area, the kind of the east end of town, that's what's happening there. It's a typical handoff that happens quite often here. The Thor Fortune is arriving from Canada, headed for Calama. Not sure what the cargo is there, but I could make a good guess that it's probably wheat. She'll pass Astoria around 10:30 in the evening. Takes about 5 hours to get to Calama. The Spica Leader is arriving from Japan, headed for Vancouver. She's a car carrier with brand new Subarus on board. You might see her running lights going by around 10:30, 11 this evening. In the Astoria anchorage, we have the Supreme Star. She left about 6 a.m. to head to Calama today, picking up corn, soy, or maybe wheat. The Kensei is awaiting orders along with the Kerberos and the Gorgoy Picos. And I think all three of those vessels are awaiting orders to go upriver and pick up wheat. And her outbounders, the Ocean Glory, is leaving the Vancouver anchorage. Not sure what her cargo is, but you can, wouldn't go wrong by guessing wheat at this time of year. Leaving around 11:30. Well, maybe no, leaving around 5:30. That would put her past Astoria outbound around 11:30 this morning. The BBC Thames is leaving Vancouver around 10 a.m. with bentonite clay on board, kitty litter, but also an industrial, something that's used to pull sediment out of liquid. So it has wide uses in industrial applications. Another one of those mineral cargoes that we export here. She's leaving about 10 a.m., so maybe about 4 p.m. outbound past Astoria. The Andromeda Leader is a car carrier with Toyotas on board. She's heading out of the Port of Portland around 2 p.m., so maybe 8 p.m. past Astoria. The Anishi is leaving Longview with logs on board around 3, so maybe 6:30 p.m. past Astoria outbound. California Highway, when you see the word highway in the name of a car, Honda's, a car carrier probably. So this has Honda's on board leaving around 4:30 p.m., so about 6 hours later, outbound past Astoria. And the Eco Splendor leaving Calama with wheat on board at about maybe 5 p.m., so maybe, 10 p.m. or so outside outbound past Astoria. Well, let's talk about wind chill factor. It's 44 degrees here. We had a freeze warning. So that means that the temperature got pretty cold overnight. So for anyone working on a ship or a fishing boat or any of that stuff, at some point you got to go out on deck and you got to really bundle up because of something called wind chill factor. Now, what is that? I found an interesting BBC article about it. I thought I'd share a little bit with you. The human body has a core temperature of roughly 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit. The air around it is usually below that, meaning that we lose heat from anywhere that's not covered by clothing. And so that is part of the reason why wind chill factor exists. So when a breeze hits your face, there's an initial heat loss there. The wind cools the temperature of your skin almost to air temperature, and below if the wind is really cold or if the temperature is cold. So the stronger the wind, the faster the cooling, and the lower the temperature, the more impact the wind has. These are all things that are very prevalent out on the water. So wind speeds up the rate at which your skin loses heat. Now, there's no universally agreed upon formula for wind chill. The BBC calls it the feels-like temperature. But it is an issue for survival, really, under extreme conditions. So for mariners out on the water, well, first of all, what's the lowest wind chill ever recorded? On July 4th, 2003, a remote weather station in East Antarctica picked up a minus 94 degree day. And the wind was blowing at 75 miles per hour, which would be good for a wind chill of about minus 150 degrees Fahrenheit. That's pretty cold, colder than most of us are going to have to deal with. But if you're on the water, you got to stay dry, because if you get wet, that's even worse. So dry clothes, warm clothes are really important. When you start getting wet and cold, seasickness becomes more of an issue. So all these things can snowball for people who are working on vessels. And so that's why mariners keep a lot of dry changes of clothes on board. They get really good rain gear, and they just make sure that their bodies are warm and comfortable as much as possible. Because the more they can do that, the longer they can keep doing what they're trying to do. You've been listening to The Ship Report, show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout.